Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Helping you unwind after a long day of work.
I'm just going to grab a healthy breakfast.
Are those gummy bears wrapped in a food roll-up?
The Nightcap.
Breakfast burrito, but yeah.
I pity your dentist.
On WGR.
Joke's on you. I don't have a dentist.
Sports Radio 550.
That open is currently very relevant because I don't have a dentist right now. I'm between dentists.
Or that you love candy.
Between denti. Dentists. Yeah, I do. I am candy...
aficionado.
I haven't been eating as much candy lately, though.
Well, that's a shame. You got to stay on the brand.
It's a lot of sugar.
Eh.
I needed to cut something from my diet, and sugar had to be it. So... eating like a pack or two of candy a day had to go away. Jeez. I'm not kidding.
I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad, but I still say no regrets.
Like big bags of gummy worms.
Like big bags of gummy worms?
Like sour gummy worms. Like what would you qualify a big bag of?
That's what we need to have the definition of.
Two and a half servings. A bag that big. Where you would look on the nutrition facts and it would say two and a half servings.
Well, I don't look on the nutrition facts of a candy.
You ever go down the candy aisle at any convenience store ever?
Who looks at the nutrition facts of a candy?
Nobody.
Of a bag of candy? Nobody, because you know what you're eating is just not good for you.
I'm assuming that the bag is big enough where it would qualify as at least two and a half serving sizes.
You know what? I would go on how much would it cost?
Oh.
If it's a dollar bag
$2
of candy. Okay, that's bad.
Once you go from the dollar bag of candy to the $2 bag of candy, that's when I've crossed the line.
Yes, that's the cost.
Dude, you don't even know
the price point.
Man.
I mean, I know some of it. I've known you for a little while now.
You're right though. It has put me in a position where I am the ultimate authority on what candy is good, which candy is not.
And
like out here in the vending machine,
the candy rankings we did.
I should be in charge, I think, of all candy in that vending machine. So last week. You know what shows up in that vending machine out there in the bistro, our bistro here in the studio in the offices?
I mean, I'm here pretty much every day, so go on.
Hershey's caramel cream pretzels and peanuts.
How did I miss this?
Terrible.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's why.
It is literally a reverse payday. It is caramel, although they added some pretzels in there. There's no chocolate, it's just caramel and peanuts. And pretzels. Chocolate, first of all, in a candy bar is a crime. And I'll say this. Better than a payday, still terrible.
I mean, that's kind of a low bar.
Yes. I did have one. So I guess I haven't completely cut off candy because I had that terrible monstrosity that is out there in the vending machine currently. Unless they're all gone, which that means somebody likes them. It's not me.
I doubt it. They're probably going to be here for like 2 months.
Probably. If you are driving around, especially in the South Towns, drive safe. If you need any traffic info, you can head over to our sister station, WBEN. It's clear now, which was not the case about an hour ago. I was looking out the window about an hour ago, and it was blizzard, whiteout. Couldn't even see the cars in the parking lot. Now, I can see across. I can see the buildings across. So, North Towns up here, looks like we may have got the worst of it. Or we may be done with the worst of it. So, Sabres won last night. The Bills are not really doing anything, but they're on my mind, and I think they're on a lot of people's minds, because this whole Antonio Brown thing has been going down the past few weeks. And there are so many dynamics to the entire story. It made it so interesting. Brown just having an incredible year again last season. And his status with Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh's need for him in the first place and Brown's contract and what it does to the Steelers and what it does to the team that would acquire him and the fact that he wants to be traded. I mean, he literally tweeted it. He tweeted a goodbye to Steeler fans a couple days ago. couple that with the fact that it seems that the Steelers have not honored his request that they're even looking at trades. Look, we've had a lot of stuff on Brown, a lot of reports come out that generally are talking about the dynamics between Brown and the team and the organization and what his requests are. But we don't yet have anyone saying, hey, this team is involved. This team has inquired on Brown. This team is opening up negotiations with the Steelers. We haven't had any of that, which leads me to believe that at this point, Pittsburgh's not taking calls on him. Maybe they realize we don't need to trade him right now. We're going to get a $21 million cap hit if that happens. Whereas they can hold off, and if they really wanted to trade him at some point, like we're talking about it now because Brown's kind of bringing it to the light of day right now via his Twitter. And like not just Twitter, like his comments. He's prancing around these award shows with a blonde mustache, and he's talking about how he wants out and he needs fresh new beginnings. But Pittsburgh doesn't need to be any rush here at all. If you really dive in to what happens to the Steelers if they trade Antonio Brown right now, whereas if they wait. Right now, if they traded him before June 1st, which there's a lot of time before then. That's just under 4 months away. They trade him between now and then. They have a $21 million cap penalty. So they would be paying $21 million for him to not be on their roster. They would save just over $1 million. That's it. Of the 22-plus that they are going to be paying for him next season, if they trade him, the only relief they get is a single $1 million. How does that make sense? Why would you do that? Unless he's just for sure not going to play for you next year under any circumstance. And there's a lot of time between now and then to figure that out. Post June 1st. If I'm the Steelers, I'm not cutting him right now. I'm not trading him right now. If I'm the Steelers, I'm waiting to June 1st. I can't imagine that we're going to have a resolution before June 1st. Unless it's both sides have come to terms, they've cleared the air, and Brown's going to play for Pittsburgh next year. Unless that happens, we are not getting a resolution, I don't think, before June 1st. Post June 1st, if the Steelers decide to trade or cut him, they save $10 million. They're only paying $11.5 million in dead cap. That's a free $10 million that you get back by simply waiting a couple extra months. So now is definitely the time to talk about it because it's at the light of day, but I would not expect any sort of developments on the story coming up. That gives us time. That gives the Bills time. That allows them to figure out what they're doing at wide receiver. Because as it stands right now, there are a lot of pros and a lot of cons, I think, to the Brown situation. And whether you would want to bring him in if you're the Buffalo Bills. If Brandon Bean should want to be calling Pittsburgh right now and giving them an offer. He doesn't have to do that right now. He can wait. And it lets you find time to figure out a better solution to who your number one receiver is going to be going forward. Hoping that it's not Robert Foster, even though he showed well last year. I don't want him being my number one. I don't think a lot of us want him being our number one. Zay Jones, who does not look capable of that role. And then past that, you're looking at guys that were street free agents at one point. Deontay Thompson. He might even be a free agent. He probably is. Isaiah McKenzie. Like we're not talking about very high caliber guys after that. You would ever think could be capable of taking on a number one spot. Who can you find in the draft? Who can you find in free agency that might be a better situation? And that's where they need to look. Because you don't have the character slash culture issues that you might have with Brown with a lot of other guys. I'm sure you can find a bunch of receivers in free agency, a bunch of free receivers in the draft that you don't have to really worry about. This guy quit on his team last year. Biggest game of the year. They needed the win to have any chance of making the playoffs. He didn't show up. A lot of guys you're not going to have to worry with that about. Now, at the same time, you're probably not finding a better guy for 2019. This is where we kind of go down the pros and the cons. So the con on Brown, potential culture issue, potential character issue, potential locker room problem. Okay, that's some cons. Pros. Top five receiver every single year for like the last 6 years. The Bills' all-time record in receptions for a year is 100 on the dot by Eric Moulds. Brown has beaten that in his last six seasons. He'd have the top six seasons in Bills' history in terms of receptions. Not even talking about what he's done at touchdowns and receiving yards. His resume is better than anything we've ever seen here in Buffalo in terms of a wide receiver. Part of that, of course, is who his quarterback is, but it is not all who his quarterback is, because you watch the film on that guy, you watch people who know what they're talking about, you look at the analytics on Antonio Brown. The guy gets open more consistently than any wide receiver in football in the past 6 years. That's where his money is made. He is an insanely good route runner, and he's very good at getting separation. That's kind of how he does his business. Does that fit with a Josh Allen? That's another question you can look at. I think it, of course, would. But I want to be looking at like some physical specimen for my number one receiver going forward. If you had to pin me down right now and say, would you rather have Antonio Brown, not really knowing what anything would be in a trade, what you would have to give up, would you rather have Antonio Brown for 2019 as your number one receiver or DK Metcalf?
Have you seen DK Metcalf?
The picture on him. It's crazy. I actually read something about that that's a little interesting. So if you don't know what we're talking about, DK Metcalf, the top receiver prospect, arguably top receiver prospect for the draft out of Ole Miss. Picture came out this week of him and a bunch of teammates, I think they were teammates, like post-workout, like in the weight room. And he's got his shirt off, and he is the most jacked receiver in history of football. Right?
Like,
I literally thought the photo was photoshopped. I still kind of think it might have been. That's how jacked he is that picture.
David Boston is the most ripped receiver that I could ever remember. Like,
I don't even know who that is.
Entering into the NFL. Played for San Diego and Miami.
Okay.
He puts David Boston to shame.
It's insane. So the funny thing
jacked beyond jacked. Like,
the thing I read about that is that might, if he's that jacked, it might hinder his flexibility and it might hinder his ability to really like go up and get a ball if he's just that, you know, physical. You know what I mean? Like, he's almost built like a linebacker. You don't want your top receiver built like a linebacker. Now,
I'd take a linebacker receiver. Hard to tackle. And Josh Allen likes to throw it at people instead of, you know, like.
Yeah, but what happens when you throw it high and the guy's, his muscles are too big, he can't get his arms up?
Try to come down with it with one hand.
I guess. Like, that's a better idea to me than Brown. Even though I'm not against the Brown idea, I'm still very much on the fence. Because there are so many pros and there are so many cons. You go back and forth. You'll go back and forth all day. I sat here before the show thinking about what I wanted to say about this whole thing. Brown and whether the Bills should be interested in him. And I swear to you, I went from, all right, I'm going all in. I'm going to kick off this show. Like, I've decided. I want the Bills to get Antonio Brown. I kid you not, 30 seconds later, as I thought about like two things, I'm like, all right, maybe I should go all in the other direction. I don't want the Bills having any part of it. And I landed somewhere in between. You should build your team the way the Bills have done it to an extent. I'm not talking about specific players. I'm not talking about specific things they're looking for in those players. But how have the Bills tried to build up their roster? They've been trying to do it with youth, and they've been trying to do it through the draft. When they came in, they blew it up. They tore it down. They went all for the picks. And you've had young players playing key roles all over the place on this team. And their most important players, at the most important positions, is where they've addressed it. They've addressed those positions via the draft. Most important position on offense, quarterback. They did that. All in. They made sure they got a guy in last year's draft. They got Josh Allen. Okay. Defense. What's the most important position? It's arguably middle linebacker. A lot of people would say it's middle linebacker. I would say it's middle linebacker. How did the Bills go after that? They did it in the draft. Number one corner, which I would say is the second. Maybe not second. I think pass rusher is probably second. But one of the next most important positions on the defense, who your top corner is, who's guarding the other team's top receiver. How did the Bills address that? They got Trey White, draft pick. And I look at that, and I think to myself, all right, they are getting free agents. They're doing that. But it seems that the free agents they're bringing in are at less important positions. Safety is not the most important position on defense. They brought both of those guys in via free agency. Defensive tackle is a position that you can kind of, like, you can find guys. And I don't think would call that the most important position on a defense, defensive tackle. How did the Bills address that? They did it with free agency. They got Star Latula. You can throw Harrison Phillips into the mix there if you want to, but that was a third-round pick. It's a little bit different here. They got Latulae. Free agency. Now, what they need to do is they need to complete that cycle on the offense. They need to recognize that, and I should have also mentioned, maybe the second most important position on offense is left tackle, your quarterback's blind spot, and the Bills did that via draft with Deion Dawkins. Past left tackle and quarterback, number one wide receiver is absolutely the most important position. And they've really yet to take a stab at that. They kind of have. I want to assume they didn't think Kelvin Benjamin was their long-term receiver as a number one receiver. I think what Kelvin Benjamin was, hey, we're in a playoff race. Let's get someone that can help us right now. This isn't necessarily a long-term look. And that failed epically. But I don't want to assume that they thought Kelvin Benjamin's our long-term number one. Same when they acquired Jordan Matthews before that. So I really think they've yet to take their big swing at number one receiver. And if I look at the other key important positions on the Bills, that would lead me to hope and that would lead me to believe that they are going to probably address that via draft. That is the most important thing when thinking about why they would not do an Antonio Brown trade. Is it correct? Is it true that that's the main reason that they would pass on that idea? That can be questioned because we know the culture stuff. We know that they find that super important, and they could very well look at Brown, and even if they loved the player and they loved the idea and they didn't care that it was a 30-year-old guy, they could still pass because of attitude. And that's when I start to have a problem with it. But like, we don't know. We don't know where they're at with this idea. We don't know if they're interested. We don't know if they've ruled it out. And if they did rule it out, we wouldn't know why they ruled it out. I really want to know why, because this whole Brown thing would really, if you knew the truth in an honest moment, if we knew exactly what the Bills were thinking on this and we knew exactly why, this is a perfect situation to bring to light exactly how your regime thinks about things and how they ideally want to build a roster. So, today, I'm still on the fence. Usually, I'm pretty quick. My gut, like, I usually just trust it, and I say, okay, this is the way I think about something, and I'm gonna go with that until I see something that seems smart that's going to make me think differently. Right now, on Brown, I am right down the middle because he is amazing. He's so good. I love imagining him with Josh Allen. And there are reasons to do it, and there are reasons not to do it because of age, even. Like, you don't have to just rule him out because he's 30 years old. But I maybe want to. Because ideally, the next big thing they do at that position, who their number one receiver is going to be. Ideally, I want that to be a guy that's going to be here for a decade. And Brown, you are hoping for 4 years. And you're probably getting two or three with him playing at the level he's at right now. On the other hand, when looking at his age, you don't have to rule it out because you look at it, McDermott's going to be entering year three. Allen's going to be entering year two. This year and the year after are going to be huge years for those two and whether they are here long term and whether they are the guys set for those roles for a long time. 2019 and 2020. Those are incredibly important years to deciding what happens at quarterback in the future and what happens at head coach. And Brown, almost for sure, you at least know physically he's going to be there for those 2 years. And I could see why a head coach and a general manager could be really tempted by that idea. They're not. I don't want to call them the trial years still, but they're very important because this is about when this year three, Bills fans, the media. This is when we start to go, all right, this is the year. Let's see some vast improvement. Let's see you show us that why we need to stick with this team long term, this group of guys, this head coach, this general manager. Year three is like, that's a big year. There's no more excuses on. They're building up. There's no more excuses on. Oh, they were tearing it down. We had to give them time to do that. No. Like, this is the year to really improve. This is the year to really take a run at the playoffs and make it and show that you're not just going to be the same 6-10, 7-9 garbage that we've been watching for the last 15, 20 years. And if you are fully invested in that, that is where I think McDermott and Bean could be really enticed to jump at an opportunity to add arguably the best receiver in football. Because you're not doing better than that right away. That's another pro. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you want to get in on this conversation, I want to talk a lot about Brown throughout today's show because I think it's a very polarizing issue, and I think there are so many pros and so many cons to it that going through them, like, this is the most interesting thing that we're going to have with the football team, I think, for a while here. Because draft isn't going to be super interesting. They have their quarterback. That's going to take away a little of the swag from it.
Says you.
No, for most. For a lot. When you have your quarterback, it takes away from it.
I'm sure that, you know, possibly getting beefed up DK Metcalf is pretty exciting at pick 9.
That's right. Or they could end up with a left tackle, and we'll go.
And cool. That's cool.
Cool.
I like the possibilities, I think.
But we're not going to be shouting.
But I'm also,
when we hear a Josh.
I'm also a draft nerd, so.
But we're not going to be going bonkers when we hear Goodell say Josh, and then we're all waiting to see what that second word is. That moment's not happening this year. 803-0550 is the phone number if you got anything on Brown. Or really, just in general, what you think the Bills should do at receiver. Let's go to Steve. Steve, you're on the Nightcap. What's up?
Hey, how you doing? Great show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm just catching the last 5 minutes or 6 minutes or so. Okay. I was just wondering, I'll pose my thought and then hang up and listen to you. But what's to say we don't go after both guys if Brown's not too expensive in terms of a trade, and then possibly taking the young kid out of college and letting him groom under Brown for a couple years before Brown leaves or gets too old for us? So what's to say we can't take both? We have a big need at wide receiver. I'll hang up and listen to you.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the call. I don't mind the idea. Me personally, as a guy who played receiver in high school, and like I love watching the position. Like, I'll still to this day, like, I'll go back and watch film on Stevie Johnson, just like his footwork and stuff. Like, I love the idea of having Brown and Metcalf on the same roster to go with your quarterback. That's hot. But you mentioned something key there. If Brown doesn't cost too much. And that would be a big thing with that. Because we've kind of just, to throw something out there, like on the afternoon show the past couple days, we've just kind of just throw it out there and been like, okay, what if he costs a second round pick? Which seems pretty realistic. If the Steelers are going to trade him, they're going to want something valuable, but they're probably not going to get a first round pick. So that's kind of where you land on second round pick. If he costs a second round pick for the Bills, you got a lot of holes on this team. One, I couldn't see them doing this if they even made this trade. And two, I don't think it would be a good idea anyway. You got so many holes, and you're going to use your top two assets in the offseason, your first and second round pick, on receiver. Like I said, I don't mind the idea because I'd have one of the best receiving cores in football if Metcalf turns out to be as good as many think he will. But you've got so many holes. What are you doing on offensive line then? You better be getting some in free agency. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck there again. Are you getting a pass rusher somewhere? Because they still need... Hughes was great last year. The other side, big question mark. They don't have a bona fide number one elite pass rusher on this team for the future. They've got a very good pass rusher going into the tail years of his career in Jerry Hughes. That's another hole. They could use a tight end. Big time. I wouldn't draft one of these in the first round, but they do need running back at some point. And if you decided to draft Metcalf in the first round after trading for Antonio Brown, all right, well, round three, now I got to do something at offensive line, or I got to do something at pass rush. And suddenly, I'm not able to use a running back at my round three, or I'm not able to draft a running back at round three, which is when I would like the Bills to start considering something like that. So, to me, to spend two assets like that on that position, even though it's a huge need, I don't think they should do that. And I don't think they would. Because Foster and Jones, while they're not super highly thought of around the league, I think if you were to add a player of the caliber of Antonio Brown, I think you can get away with Foster and Jones being your next two receivers. For sure. 803-0550 is the phone number. Thanks for the call. We'll take a timeout here. And then we'll come back with more of your calls. So keep them coming. You can also tweet at me at SneakyJoeWGR on Twitter or on the text line. Text us at 550-550. It's the Nightcap with Jody Biasi and Derek Kramer here on WGR.
You know, the Penguins now have some injuries on the blue line that are going to make it a little harder for them. It'll certainly make them more aggressive at the trade deadline in the next week or two here. So that's something to look at. But, yeah, I think Pittsburgh is kind of the really only vulnerable team. I think it's, you know, them, Carolina, and the Penguins for that last spot in the East.
Yahoo's Ryan Lambert. I'm with Mike Shope earlier today. That's on demand at WGR550.com. The Sabres are 2 points out of a playoff spot. Pittsburgh, like he's talking about there, is the team that is closest to the Sabres. 2 points. It's not a lot, but it is the Penguins. I think we'd all feel a lot better about it if it was like Columbus or Montreal or
a team you would normally suspect to not always be there.
Right. I mean, the Penguins have come close to missing the playoffs a couple times in the past few years.
And they,
I think the last 5 years, they've been one of the bottom two playoff spots 3 times.
And not to mention,
maybe it was twice and it was almost 3 times.
Not to mention this, how slow they started this year.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that comes back to bite you sometimes.
I mean, they're going to, one day, they're going to be like Chicago. Like, we're just going to show up one day to watch hockey. And Pittsburgh's going to be bad. That's what's happened to Chicago. I mean, that was a dynasty. And, you know, the guys, their star players, they get a little old. Like, they get to their 30s. And maybe some of the defensemen get a little older. And your goalies are different. And, like, suddenly it's not so easy to keep repeating. And Chicago has run into that problem the past 2 years now where they've just been bad. Even with Toews and Kane. Keith got old. Seabrook got old. Hossa's retired. Like, that'll happen. And Pittsburgh, I still got to think, they got a couple more years where they're serious cup contenders. But this year, they are not playing like that at all. Not good goaltending overall throughout the year. And their blue line is really bad. So, it is Pittsburgh. It might feel like it's not that possible because it's Pittsburgh. But I kind of agree that they're a little bit vulnerable. Like we've got Ryan Lambert talking about there. I still think Columbus is the most likely team, though. That's only 4 points. And I think they have to trade their best two players. They gotta. I can't see. They can't do it. Maybe they will, but realistically, they should do it, which makes me lead to believe that they have ultimately will. And then they trade Bobrovsky and Panarin. I should catch them. The Sabres should catch Columbus. Now, whether they get ahead of Carolina would be tight, but I think if Columbus, who's only 4 points ahead of you right now, if they go past the deadline and they don't have Bobrovsky and Panarin, the Sabres are better than them.
What if they only get rid of one of them? Say they keep Panarin but deal Bobrovsky. Because there have been links to Florida.
Then I think it's really tight, and maybe I wouldn't just want to assume the Sabres are a better team.
Yeah, I agree if they get rid of both of them, you should catch them.
I agree. Even though like their blue line's very good. Their blue line's definitely better than the Sabres is. They have two bona fide franchise defensemen in Werenski and Jones. But they're not, they'd have no like upper level talent at the forward group. Like, Cam Atkinson's gonna be your best goal scorer? Good luck. You better win games 2-1. I mean, that's John Tortorella hockey. I guess they could do it, but if you want to win games 2-1,
and Bobo's not
playing,
it'd
be nice to have
Bobrovsky. Yeah, Bobo's not playing like that this year.
That's true, but someone mentioned that to me the other day. We're going to get back to Antonio Brown and some football talk in a second here. 803-0550 is the phone number, by the way, if you want to get in on that. Bobrovsky has had a down year, but I'm going to pull it up here real quick. So Bobrovsky's at 903. Korpi Salo, the backup's at 900. Both are really bad. So, like, yeah, I know Bobrovsky's not playing that great, but who's more likely to turn it on late down the stretch and really vault them into a playoff spot, Bobrovsky or Korpi Salo? So, it paid to have him. All right, back to football. We talked a lot about Antonio Brown in the first segment, and I want to continue to do so. He's a super interesting topic right now, especially when you're looking at whether it's a good idea for the Bills and whether it's a realistic idea for the Bills. They could trade for him. He wouldn't really have a choice unless he threatened to retire or something. So we're kind of going through that here on the Nightcap. 803-0550 is the phone number. Let's go to Dave in Niagara Falls. Dave, you're on the Nightcap. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say my piece, chime in about the Antonio Brown thing, and then I'll hang up and listen.
Sure.
Now, one receiver I feel has got to get mentioned. If hypothetically A.J. Green becomes available, me personally, I would prefer A.J. Green. I feel like his skill set would match Josh Allen's better. He can go up and get it. He can get open. Now, if he's fully healthy, that's the key. He's been injured a couple times the last couple years. But, I mean, I love his work ethic, hard worker. I don't think he has any off-field drama. But that's just my take on it.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to hear what you guys think about it. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, Dave, thanks for the call. I agree. I haven't heard a peep about Green being like an off-the-field guy or any character stuff. Other than that one time he tried to fight Jalen Ramsey and did that wrestling move. But I thought that was pretty cool.
That was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
He dropped him pretty well.
It was cool in terms of not him deciding, hey, I'm going to punch Jalen Ramsey, but he did like a little wrestling
move. No, like, that was actually smarter. I don't want my receiver using his hands to punch a helmet.
Well, he did punch him first.
Oh.
Which was a stupid thing to do.
Yeah,
I like the wrestling
thing,
move after. Anyways, overall point on him. By the way, contract-wise, I looked him up earlier today. He's in the last year of his contract. If the Bengals trade him, they save $12 million.
And the Bengals could be in that kind of a position, which, by the way, low-key, got to give you credit for. You said the Bengals could be in that kind of position and then that we could go ahead and take a peek at maybe A.J. Green, and I remember thinking, how many drugs were you smoking?
Right. See, the thing, though, like, yeah, I kind of, I don't want to say forecasted, but I painted a scenario before the season. Just looking at, like, how did the Bills get their elite receiver? And one possibility I always thought was, hey, the Bengals, I know Marvin Lewis has been there for 37 years, but if they have another bad season and they finally decide, hey, we're going to move on from the coach, then maybe they blow it up and you can get your hands on Green. Now, the thing, part of that happened. They were bad. Lewis got canned. They brought in Zach Taylor. But the way that it's sounding coming out of Cincinnati from everything I'm reading and everything I'm hearing about them is they're not looking to blow it up. They got a thing about a story about how the owner doesn't really like change and he doesn't want to go full rebuild right now. Like, they're going to hang on to Dalton. If they're hanging on to Dalton, that makes me think that they're going to go ahead and play Green through the last year of his contract. What happens after that? I don't know. But I would call them because that should be an idea that they would at least listen to. If you're the Bengals, hey, we got a new head coach. You got a great receiver, but you got a 31-year-old receiver coming off an injury, going into the final year of his contract. You're going to have to decide whether you want to pay him again next year or you can send him away now and maybe get something for him, maybe get a third-round pick. I agree with the caller. I'd rather do that. Even though I probably get more out of Brown and I maybe only get 1 year out of A.J. Green, yeah, his skill set fits perfect for Josh Allen. Because when you talk about catch radius, like, Green's not the best receiver in football. He's been right up there throughout his career, but I don't think he's really ever been considered the best receiver in football. But he's definitely been considered to have the best catch radius in football. Right? Like, once Calvin Johnson retired, who had a better catch radius than A.J. Green? Maybe Hopkins has come on now, as, like, the last year or two. But there was a time there where, like, there was nobody better going up and getting the football than A.J. Green.
Yeah, and but the thing is like, this is just really more of a specific thing of the elite receivers in the NFL. There's really nothing about skill sets like, oh yeah, this guy matches the team better or he matches Josh Allen better. Antonio Brown would go well with any quarterback in the NFL.
Sure.
A.J. Green would go great with any quarterback in the NFL and has proven so. Calvin Johnson was a guy who played with a bunch of different quarterbacks and Stafford would get banged up or something like that. Like DeAndre Hopkins, same thing.
There's one team, though, that does kind of factor in style of receiver, and it's Carolina. And that makes me think that maybe this regime is going to consider that, too, because really what Carolina's done, for the most part, in the past few years with Cam Newton is they've gone, all right, we've got a quarterback here who's really good, but he's inaccurate at times, and he tends to overthrow. So what did they do? They went out and they got all 6'2" and bigger receivers. And I wonder if the Bills might do something similar. I hope they don't, because, well, first of all, I would want Allen to be more accurate than that, where you have to start making personnel decisions at receiver based on your quarterback's limitations. But I can't tell you that they don't think like that. I can't tell you that they don't love the idea of going and signing Devin Funchess over a Golden Tate because he's bigger and Allen might be a little inaccurate. To me, it's not even about that for Green over Brown. It's one, I don't think I have to worry about him, like locker room stuff. And two, I really only have to worry about him for 1 year. And yeah, you can cut Brown eventually, but I don't really have to worry about, hey, I'm paying a 33-year-old receiver $12 million this year. Because at that point, I'm just getting a guy for a year anyway. And I probably have to give up less for Green. If I can get him. If the Bengals even want to trade him. So that's a name like that might sound like fantasy land, like A.J. Green, Antonio Brown for the Bills. I don't think it should be crazy that A.J. Green gets traded this offseason. Should be completely realistic with the way his contract is and where the Bengals are at. 803-0550 is the phone number if you got any ideas for what the Bills should do at receiver. We'll get into some free agent options next, and then we'll do some draft options in the second hour. Sal's got a piece on our website from earlier in the week on 10 free agent options for the Bills at receiver. He's got a piece today you can read at WGR550.com on tight end options. We'll touch on that as well. And then in hour number two, Joe Mourinho, Draft Network had a mock draft for just the Bills, a 7-round mock draft. And it's interesting, and he has them drafting a couple of receivers. We'll let you know where in hour number two when we kind of get into the draft side of it. It's the Nightcap, Jody Biasi and Derek Kramer here on WGR. You always realized? We take Bills news off the top of the page on the website during the offseason. It's a good idea. Sabres won last night. 3-1 over the New York Islanders. It was a big win because everybody else won in the division or won in the conference last night, it seemed. Carolina won. Washington won. Washington lost. Columbus won.
Carolina scored 4 in the third period, as a matter of fact.
On Ottawa, right?
Thanks, Senators, for being terrible.
I mean, we might they're probably not going to give us much help the rest of the year, except when we're playing them. When do we play them?
Even then, we lost a game to them this year.
When did the Sabres get to play Ottawa? I feel like we haven't played them enough this year. Is there a bunch of those coming? Do we got a run of Senator games on the way?
I think there's only 2 left.
The next 3 games, I mean, you're 2 points out. Your next 3 games are against the 12th, 13th, and 14th teams in the conference. Devils, then Rangers, then Rangers, then Devils, then Panthers. 3 teams behind you. Can you give me 6 points there? Because then we're probably in a playoff spot.
Your Ottawa,
give me 5 at least.
Your Ottawa answer, by the way?
What?
Comes in a very favorable 8-game stretch to end the season.
All right.
The last 8 games are the Devils, the Senators, the Red Wings, the Islanders, the Blue Jackets, you got to deal with the Predators, and then the Senators and Red Wings. If Buffalo wants to make a run,
at least.
If Buffalo wants to make a last minute run and give everyone a heart attack, there's a chance.
If they can keep it close enough where you can enter those last 8 games, like only 2-3 points out, then we're seriously in that
I'm
thing.
Liking my chances at that point.
Same. Yep. So we've been talking a lot about receiver, Antonio Brown specifically in the first hour here. And what I haven't really touched on is like free agency. We've talked about trades. We talked about draft, a little bit on draft. We really only mentioned Metcalf, who I think as the draft season progresses, more and more people are going to start to get on board with that idea. just the idea of Metcalf, just how talented he is as a receiver. But free agency, which I'd want to assume, like these 10 guys Sal listed out on the website earlier this week, I would bet on one of them being in a Bills uniform.
As a matter of fact, though, there's a couple of guys in the draft that I still really, really love. Hollywood Brown's one of your guys. Riley Ridley out of Georgia, and Debo Samuel out of South Carolina.
Yep.
Debo Samuel looks like a great route runner kind of guy.
He's not like
pure speed dude.
Okay.
But he is crisp route runner. Like, he put corners in the Senior Bowl to shame. And when you can do that, that usually means that you're going to be a solid prospect, because, you know, you see guys like Aaron Donald separate himself in the Senior Bowl with a spectacular skill set kind of thing. I'm not saying Samuel's the equivalent of that sort of thing, but if you have a special skill and you're making the top senior prospects look bad on a routine basis all week, that tends to be favorable.
Yeah, let's hold off on those other guys, though, for a minute, because I want to do a lot of draft stuff in the next segment. The two guys, at least on Sal's list here, they're free agents. I don't think he really missed anybody. Jameson Crowder wasn't on his list, but I don't really want the Bills to do that. It's like a slot guy. Tyrell Williams and John Brown are like the two names on there, because everybody else, except for Funchess, who we'll talk about him as well, like Humphreys and even Tate, even though he's good, and Cole Beasley and Randall Cobb, Tavon Austin, like those are just like slot short yardage receivers. And I think I could find that. I think the Bills did find that. Like, I think Isaiah McKenzie is fine for that role. If Zay Jones can play slot, ideally, I think that's the role meant for him. I think I'm fine there. I don't think I need any of these other slot guys. Because if I sign Randall Cobb, for instance, then what I'm probably doing is putting Zay Jones back out at outside receiver, and he looks like more of a natural fit to play inside to me. So the two guys on that list, maybe three, but especially two, that I'd love to see the Bills get. Tyrell Williams, kind of been buried for the Chargers, especially last year with Mike Williams coming on the scene, and you have Keenan Allen, and you have Travis Benjamin there, who plays the same role as Williams, like a deep threat for Phillip Rivers. So it was kind of tough for him to get targets, but that's a guy where I think you bring him here, you let him play as a number one or as a number two receiver, ideally a number two, and I think he could flourish. I think he could be a similar story to what you saw with Robert Woods. Robert Woods just didn't get a lot of targets here in Buffalo. He goes to LA where he did get a lot of targets, and he exploded. And suddenly he's this really, really good receiver. And I think Williams might find some success in that same light. If he were to come to Buffalo and the Bills decide, hey, we've got Josh Allen, let's start to throw the ball a little bit more. And suddenly Tyrell Williams finds himself as a bona fide number two wide receiver, and he's getting some targets. That's a good idea to me. John Brown, similar, lesser extent. He's a little bit older, 29 years old as opposed to 27 for Williams, and he's had injury problems throughout his career. So I'm not even sure. No, you'd be pretty sure the Bills would like him, even though he hasn't been super available, because they offered him reportedly a 3-year contract last offseason. So I could see them being interested in him again, but those are two deep threats as well. And if you're looking to use Josh Allen's greatest asset, which is his arm strength, then both of those guys, to me, sound like good ideas if they don't cost a ton. 803-0550 is the phone number. Joe Mourinho has a mock draft, and he's got the Bills taking two wide receivers. I want to go over some of the top receivers in the draft to kind of assess where the Bills could be looking. If they don't, which they probably won't, but if they don't, end up trading for Antonio Brown at this point. It's the Nightcap with Jody Biasi and Derek Kramer on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.